The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, programs. You've looked all over, and you've found the equivalent of belly button fluff in podcast form. It always turns up, but you have no idea how it was, in fact, created. We hope to bring you some answers this week to some of the burning questions as the Rapids sit in a rather uncomfortable position after just 7 games. Rivas, now for Hickey, takes a return pass to Carlos Rivas. Left-footed shot! Who's going to come eventually? And the substitute breaks the scoreless scoreline here in Orlando. It's purple rain. Chelsea Gashi can't get rid of it. Laren chests it down inside the penalty area. Laren on the post. Rebound in the 10. And of course it's Kaká. And Orlando City Stadium goes kaboom. On his foot, whistle is in the mouth of Sabiga. And the whistle blows. And it's a celebration in the sunshine for Orlando City SC. They've won 6 games now in 2017. Make that 4 in a row for purple and Florida gold. And things are good here in Central Florida, but not so much for the Colorado Rapids. The month of April ended not soon enough with a fourth successive defeat. Rapids are 1-5-1, just 4 points and 5 goals in 7 games. Richard, you and I were there. Lovely stadium, lovely weather, not a lovely result. Your takeaway from Orlando?
Well, the first goal was beautifully taken, wasn't it, Carlos Rivas? But if you look back at that, three Rapids players were ball-watching, and Rivas was able to lose his marker 25 yards from goal. The second goal was Skelton Gashi being far too casual and gifting the ball to Orlando in a dangerous spot. Defensively, a little better, I thought. Though, to be fair, Zach McMath was the busier of the two keepers. Orlando, for me, and although they didn't have the goal in the first half, they certainly had the greater offensive threat in the final third. The Rapids, and I'll touch upon this more in the parting shot, but they had one shot on target in the entire game, 3 in total. This is a side that has got to get its act together offensively. And I don't think you can go to teams, and particularly with certain key elements missing in the defensive lineup, and we'll hear from Axel Schuberg later. This is not a side that I don't feel, with them playing a slightly more offensive or trying to play a more offensive game, that has that defensive rigidity that it had in 2016. So I don't think they can go. They can't afford to go to sides and sit and try and defend for 90 minutes, and it was shown last weekend.
So now is it time to panic?
Well, this was the kind of the burning question last week, wasn't it? Six
it
games
was.
In.
I'm asking again.
Do we panic? 7 games in. Do we still panic? I still think no. We've got 27 games of the regular season to go. 8 of the next 11 at home, and that's a big opportunity. Players returning from injury and suspension. As I said last week, give this side time to adjust, give it time to settle, get the healthy bodies back. And again, Vancouver on Friday is the first of what is 8, as I said, 8 home games of the next 11. And that is a huge opportunity for this team to start putting some big points on the board and closing the gap between themselves and the team in 10th and then 9th. And then you have a look at those playoff places. They've got to get themselves on a bit of a run, momentum, confidence, all of that. And hopefully they can kind of try and start with Vancouver on Friday.
Well, head coach Pablo Mascherani cleared up some confusion this week when speaking to Vic Lombardi on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950. In a recent article in 442, the suggestion is that Pablo had written off the 2017 season as a rebuild for 2018. Here was the interaction between Vic and Pablo.
Pablo, one reason I love you on this show is because you always speak the truth and you're not afraid to go places. A lot of texters on the text line right now want to get your reaction to an article that was written that quoted you in 442 website that features different soccer folks, of course, and Pablo, you're featured saying that And please tell us what you meant, if you clearly have this feeling that you're sacrificing this season for next. That's the impression. Can you please tell us what you meant by that?
Were those my words that we're sacrificing, or is that the?
That's the words of the texters. That's the words of the texters. It says here's your words. I'll read it word for word. You have to start sowing the seeds of 2018 today. Everything is done with the mindset of putting ourselves in a position to be able to utilize all the cap space, all the different transactions we're making today in the future.
Right. So there's nothing in there that says anything about sacrificing 2017. And that's why, you know, the printed word is so often misconstrued. And I think what I mean by that is when you prepare for the future, you will never have unlimited cap space. You'll never have the right guy for the right position. You'll never have everything that you want in an ideal perspective on that day.
Yeah.
So what you do is you start planting seeds today to open up maybe a little bit of cap space, to maybe get that one player that you're looking for. And then in 4 months, in the next transfer window, you go, okay, now we got that guy. Let's bring in this guy. And everything's done with a big plan in place. There's a big blueprint. And when certain situations arise, you must take them if you're to stick to the plan. Because if you're waiting for the cap space to open up, this player to get here, that player to get here, and you want it all before 2018 or 2019 or 2020, whatever your goal or your objective, you everything at once. And so what I mean by that is has nothing to do with sacrifice in 2017. Those are words that have been thrown in my mouth.
Sure.
What I said was, when those opportunities come, you have to take them one by one, because we know where we want to go as a club, and that's vetted through everyone at the club. And so it's just making those decisions that, yeah, they're not all going to make sense now. Yeah, there's going to be some uncomfortable times because you're losing the two very good players that were critical to the success of 2016. And on top of that, we haven't gotten the results in the last few games. And so it all culminates into this, you know, like, what are we doing? We don't know what we're doing. But, I caution people to read something and put their own spin on it, because that's not what was intended, nor what I said.
Well, that's the intention of the show, I guess, is to make sure we understand what you meant by that. And this goes back to the trade, Cronin and Birch, obviously, two guys who are leaders, especially in a midfield where you can use leadership right now. Just to make the case, you're not giving up anything right here in this season. You still think you can turn things around?
Yeah, no, I know we'll turn things around. And again, it's just about it's a long season. And I think, you know, last year at the All-Star break, you know, Seattle was the worst team in the league. So if we've learned anything from anything in this league, is that you're never out of it. And at the end, everyone's going to be right there vying for a playoff spot. And so I'm only going off facts that I've seen and things that I know to be true, not what I think might happen. Mm-hmm. So we're right there in the thick of it. We just got to get, again, we got to take care of home. We got to get these results the right way. We got to get some confidence. And once we get that, we have the players in-house that can really make a good run for the playoffs.
The Colorado Rapids take on Vancouver Whitecaps FC on May 5th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Gosh, he's going to have a go, is he? Striking one up!
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with the Rapids with a Coca-Cola fan pack.
Bacci in the area. Oh, yes! Dominique Bacci!
Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke.
Doyle with a chance, and it's through! And a big save from Tim Howard.
Get your tickets now at coloradorapids.com.
So Pablo clarified matters on 2017. His focus turns to Friday's home game with Vancouver Whitecaps. Talk is cheap, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we can sit here and we can navel gaze and we can analyze and we can chat about it. But a win on Friday will help to ease the concern. Then home again on the 13th against San Jose. Yeah, we can talk, we can debate, we can reflect. We all have our thoughts on the best lineup, the best tactics, who should play, who shouldn't play. But actions speak louder than words. A win on a Saturday, everybody goes into work on a Monday with a spring in the step.
Or on a Friday, in this case.
Or a Friday. The weekend is much better when you've got a win under your belt. Talk is absolutely cheap. A loss on Friday, you know, dare we even think about, but a loss on Friday and all talk that we're having now and of rallying and confidence and home form and the fortress is paper thin.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it's actions speak louder than words. And I think that as a sports fan, and obviously you can, you know, appreciate this, that kind of adds to the frustration, I think, as fans, because they are so engaged, so emotionally attached, and yet as fans, there's often a sense of being powerless. Most of the time, all they have is their voice. All right. They have is their frustration, because they can't, they can support and they can get behind the players, but ultimately it's the players out in the middle that will give us a good weekend or not, put sure. a smile back on our face or not. So, you know, as fans, we can stand and we can shout and we can scream, but our influence over something that we hold so dear is minimal. And I've often said this down the years, sport is not like any other business. If you're treated badly at, you know, dare I say, a grocery store, you take your business elsewhere. But with sport, you're emotionally attached, you're financially attached, and more often than not, you're in for the long haul. So it's not easy. So all you have is that frustration, and all you have is that, come on, you know, turn things around. So I think I can absolutely understand. 7 games in, though, there's still a long way to go. Will fans always be happy? Of course not. You look at Arsenal fans, you look at Chelsea fans, you look at fans of some of the most successful teams in the land.
Yeah.
But I think because you've given so much personally, the frustration and the emotion is that much more. We've just got to hope that the boys can turn it around, starting with Friday and Cinco de Mayo.
The Rapids are home to the Whitecaps on Cinco de Mayo. Rapids did not lose to Vancouver in 2016. 2 draws and a win. They scored 7 goals against Vancouver Whitecaps.
And 2 games in those ties at BC Place that were contrasting. Remember,
right. They were wild compared to the rest of
the Rapids
season.
Had a player sent off yeah. at Vancouver,
yep,
Eric Miller. And then Axel Schubert got yeah. the equalizer in stoppage time, and then the boot was on the other foot.
Yeah, Vancouver did it to the Rapids in September.
Kendall Waston sent off, yeah. Shkelton Gashi with the goal of the season,
yes.
which everybody, you know, inside that stadium thought was enough. The Rapids led on 3 occasions. Vancouver came back with a stoppage time equalizer of their own. So some wild games, and there's normally something. You go back to 2014, right. Jose Mari.
Yeah.
two
yeah.
brilliant goals at BC
Place. BC Place has been kind to the Rapids.
And they've had 2 games here on 4th of July, yeah. lost 1 and 1-1. So they're normally pretty good games against Vancouver. We just hope, obviously, the Burgundy boys come out on top.
Vancouver also in the middle of a 4-game road trip away from BC Place. Lost to Vancouver, 1 at Montreal last weekend. They go here and then to Houston to finish it up before having 4
lost
in a row.
Lost to Vancouver. Who did they? So, lost to Portland.
Did I say Vancouver lost to Vancouver? it seems a little bit impossible, although mind games can be harsh. But yeah, what I did mean to say was lost at Portland, 1 at Montreal, both 2-1 score lines. They go here, then they go to Houston before having 4 in a row at home. Is that better?
And they flip-flopped.
I
think they started with a loss, then a draw, and then they've gone, I'll try and get this right, lost one,
yes,
in the last 6 games.
Yep.
So they're looking for consistency.
Yeah. And 11 different starting 11s for Carl Robinson throughout all competitions as well. They're finally starting to get some consistency.
But they've not fared well here.
No.
The Rapids are 7-1-0.
I think the only win was that 4th of July
4th of July, 1-0 yeah. win back in 2012, if my memory serves me right. So, yeah, look, the Rapids have got there's a wonderful record, 19 unbeaten at home. That has been reset. They've got to start again on Friday, and they've got to see this as a building block. The next stretch of games, which will pretty much take us up to 4th of July, 8 of the next 11, yep. takes us up to 4th of July, 8 of the next 11 at home. This is the period. You talk about, do we panic? No, but after the next 11 games, 8 of which are at home, that'll give us a better indicator as to how this Rapid side are going to fare. We can look at, well, Seattle were bottom of the standings. That doesn't happen very often. In fact, I think records will tell us that a team that has been bottom of the standings at the midway point had never previously even made the playoffs.
Right.
The fact that Seattle went and won the entire thing shows you how rare that is, as rare as they say as rocking horse poop. So it is extremely rare for that to happen. So I don't think we kind of hang our hat on, well they right. did it last year. I think we've just got to take care of business at home, and I keep saying starting with the Whitecaps.
That game is 8 p.m. start on Friday night. Give you a couple extra minutes to get to Commerce City. Call 303-825-GOAL for tickets or go to coloradorapids.com. Next to our interviews, we'll hear from one player in a new role and another nearing full fitness. First, Dylan Powers. He slotted in alongside Michael Ozira, and he's feeling just fine.
Something I'm really enjoying. I got to play there a couple times last year, and I thought I had some good performances. And you get a lot of the ball, and it can be a facilitator in that position, and I think it's one of my best aspects, so I'm really enjoying it.
How do you see the partnership with Mike? Is he kind of the guy that breaks up the play and you got the vision, you distribute, do you share the load?
I think that's the general idea, but you know, I think I've found myself definitely with some newer defensive responsibilities, which I've embraced as well, because that's an important part of that position is being able to break up plays. I can't just be a freeloader. So, you know, that's kind of Mike's main role, but at the same time, you know, I have to be prepared to do that work as well.
Did you realize that last weekend you went over, I think, over 110th start? You're now on a number of those all-time lists for starts and appearances for this club. You're one of the, although still relatively young, you're one of the senior players. How does that kind of rest on your shoulders?
I wasn't aware of that. But I think, obviously, yeah, I've been at this club. I've seen a lot of the good times, the bad times. So I feel a little bit of an extended responsibility to this club to you know, take ownership of it. And I think it's easy to, if you're at a club for 1 or 2 years, to maybe not feel like it's you're tied to it. But I really am tied to this, to the success and performance of this club.
So how tough has this last 7 games been for you? For somebody, as you say, who's had his rookie season here, has been here for the last, what are you now, in your 5th season? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's never a fun run of form when you're losing games, but you know, I think the attitude of the group has been great. I think we feel like we're close. I feel like we don't feel discouraged. We're, you know, really looking forward to this stretch of home games to kind of get our points and get back into the scheme of things.
And the side, how does it compare to 2016, and how does it compare in terms of the style of play that this team is playing in 2017?
Well, we've definitely made some changes with the style of play, and I think you know, it's definitely taken a while to try to sort that out. I think you might find that we will maybe try to tap into some of the things that we were successful at last year to you know, maybe get us out of this little this batter in a form. But it's a side that I think has a lot of savvy players and a lot of guys that are still hungry. You know, we achieved a semifinal place last year, but guys aren't satisfied, and it doesn't really mean that we can just sit back and relax. You know, I think we're hungry for the playoffs and hungry for the top spot.
And looking to Friday's game, Vancouver, Tim Howard is back available for selection. How important is it to get healthy bodies back? And sometimes that can be, you can overplay that and people will see it as an excuse, everybody has injuries. How difficult has it been to have some of these senior players not available?
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime a senior player goes out of the roster, it's you lose not just on the field but off the field and in the locker room, that voice in-game, that in-game voice. So it'll be a nice lift to have Tim back, because he demands a lot, and I think, you know, I think going into this game on the weekend, we'll have be kind of going full steam ahead, because we know we got to get 3 at home, and we're looking forward to it.
And we can all talk, and we can all analyze, and we can all dissect performances, but ultimately, it's down to you guys on the field. It's results will change opinion. Results will give us all a bit of a spring in our step. As you mentioned, 8 at home in the next 11. How big a run is that for you guys?
It's really important, because when you have that kind of front-loaded home schedule, you're going to find a lot of away games in the back. So, you know, which are winnable too. But it's obviously, you know, last year a big key to our success was having getting 3 points at home. So we know that's important, and you know, I think we'll be up for the performance this weekend.
There's Dylan Powers. There's some good news for the Rapids coming into the weekend. Howard. Mr. Tim Howard, I think we've heard of him a time or two. I think, I remember who he is, but he's back. Should be starting. And Skelton Gashi looking sharp in training. And Courtney Ford has also served his 1-game ban. The one long-term injury that remains is Nana Boateng. He's got about another 5 to 7 weeks with his lower back injury. But more positive news is that central defender Axel Schuberg, a finalist for Defender of the Year in 2016, he was named to the MLS Best 11 as well, getting close to a return. He's been missing since suffering a hamstring injury towards the end of a 1-0 loss at New York Red Bulls in Game 2 on March 11th. And he spoke to Richard Fleming.
How's the last few weeks been for you?
Frustrating. Very frustrating. It's a long process, or it feels like a very long process, even though it's really not that long in terms of weeks. But whenever you get injured and have surgery, it takes quite a lot mentally and emotionally in the beginning to kind of grind through it and get the rehab going and, you know, do everything you can to get on the field as quickly as possible. So,
do you recall the incident? And at the time, did you think it was as serious as it turned out?
Yeah, I recall it. When I went down, I felt that the knee kind of twisting in a little bit weird way. I didn't hear a pop, so I wasn't, I guess, super worried, but it did hurt quite a bit. And whenever I hurt during a game, just because I have a lot of adrenaline pumping, I know it's usually not too good. So, you know, it was mixed feelings. I was glad right away that it wasn't anything super serious. But obviously I knew it wasn't great either. So,
how does this compare with other injuries and time away from the game? Is it one of the longest?
Yeah, it's my second longest. I had foot surgery in college. That was just a bit longer. It was probably 10 to 12 weeks. But otherwise, it's close to as long as I've ever been out and away from the game.
And how frustrating for you has it been, knowing how integral you were in 2016 in the heart of that defense, to see this side kind of struggling opening 7 games?
It's been extremely difficult to be on this side and not really be able to affect the game. You know, I'm always around every day in the locker room and around the guys, obviously, but not to be able to kind of contribute on the field is extremely difficult. And I think we've tried very hard. We just haven't really been able to string together the kind of results we had last year. And you know, it's a game of confidence. And last year we got that confidence in a number of important games and close games. So, and we've been on the wrong side this year. But this really comes down to details, I believe. And hopefully we can string some good results together soon.
I spoke to Kevin Duhal last week, and I said to him, that, yeah, talking to players in 2014 and 2015, and one of the things they said was, during that rough spell, the side is not as bad as the results suggest. Kevin's response to that was, at the end of a season, you finish where your results, where you deserve.
Absolutely.
Do you think after 7 games that this side is where it deserves to be? In other words, is it better than the results are suggesting?
I think, just like Kevin, the results speaks for themselves. You know, there's always games that, one or two games, you know, in a season that are maybe not going the way they should. You know, the ball bounced in different ways at different times. But at the end of the day, just like Kev said, you know, it's about performing. It's about winning games. That's why we're here. So if you don't win games, you're no better than that. So right now, obviously, we've been going through a tough spell. So, but we're where we deserve. That's the simple. It's a business, you know. Everyone's there to win, so, and we haven't won.
Where are you then in terms of your rehab? And I know fans will want to know when we're going to see you back on the field.
Sure. What I can say is that it feels great. I'm back to doing stuff on the side of the field with Miguel for right now, and hopefully I'll get back into it slowly next week. So we'll see. There's no definite time plan. Obviously, it's getting back into contact, which is going to be a little bit, you know, get some tackles and then see how that feels. But I'm very hopeful, and so far I'm doing really well in recovery. So, you know, I'm excited to be back and touching the ball, but I don't want to set a definite date.
There is Axel Schuberg with the Phlegm Dog, and now it's time for
more important dates to remember.
And the Cardell Homes Community Spotlight, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the Colorado Rapids. The annual Cinco de Mayo Festival will be taking place this weekend at Civic Center Park in downtown. The Rapids will have a couple of players in attendance on Saturday, May 6th from 11 to 1. Bobby Burling will be in attendance at the Coke tent signing autographs. And then on Sunday, May 7th from 11 to 1, Jared Watts will be in attendance also signing autographs at the Coke tent. Edson, that's the mascot, he'll be on hand as well. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. What do you know, Richard Fleming?
Well, I said this on the radio broadcast last weekend, and I think I probably overemphasized the point, to
you
be
did
fair.
Not.
If you don't shoot, you're not going to score. One shot on target in Orlando is not entirely due to the Rapids struggling to get into decent positions. Rather, I think a lot has to do with the players simply refusing to have a dip. And Pablo Mastroianni kind of touched upon that post-game, is there seems to be a fear factor in the final third. I have absolutely, and again, something I said on the call, I have no issue with shots flying into row J or wherever it lands in the back of the stand. What I do get frustrated at is the player who gets within range and then plays it square or plays it back. And we saw that on a number of occasions in Central Florida. Have a go. You know, Pablo was right when he said his side seems to freeze in the attacking third. There seems to be an appearance. Well, certainly, again, the one thing that we saw in Orlando going forward, they kind of get so far and then the fluidity fizzles out. They get to a position where they kind of say to themselves, well, what do I do with it now? When the players get into good areas, there seems to be indecision, an extra touch here, another look up there. Fluidity is lacking. And maybe this is the adjustment period that this team is going through, as is the understanding between players. Play with freedom and I think without fear of failure. And that, I get a sense that, you know, if I have a shot, it might miss. Well, have a shot. The other thing, you know, you don't buy a lotto ticket, you haven't got a chance of winning
right.
The lottery. So have a go. I'm not sure, to be honest, where this hesitancy is coming from. Not sure when the fear factor in the final third materialized, but that needs to change. Be brave, be bold, and be prepared to shoot on sight. 51 shots the Rapids have taken in 7 games, the lowest in the league by some stretch, by 29, in fact, as is the lowest in the league, as is 16 shots on target. If you're averaging a little over 2 shots on target each game, your conversion rate has to be pretty high to have an impact. Well, of course, that's not been the case for the Rapids. 5 goals in 7 games. So take risks. Don't be afraid to fire at will. This is a side which is seeking to be more attack-minded. That may impact the defensive qualities, but the numbers don't back up the new approach. Changing your football philosophy is not something that happens with a flick of a switch. I understand that. But there seems to be a blockage at some point as this team ventures down the field, which is hampering the side in the one key area it struggled with in 2016, and is again, after 7 games, and I know we've still got 27 games to go, is again something they're battling to overcome in 2017. So from this Friday, change your philosophy. If you see the goal, have a go.
Catchy. I'm putting that on a t-shirt. Say it again.
If you see the goal,
have a go. Before we go, this is for our homegrown rookie, Courtney Ford, as we take things back a little bit. Our thoughts are very much with Courtney and his mom, Lori, at what is a very difficult time. Lori was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2008. As a result, Courtney turned down college offers from out of state to attend the University of Denver and be closer to his mother. In March, the cancer returned more aggressively this time. A GoFundMe page has been set up on Lori's behalf at GoFundMe.com/LauriFord, LauriE Ford. Already a third of the way towards the goal, and much outpouring of the support from Rapids fans has been very evident. Thank you on behalf of the Ford family. Also, in regards to that, fans will be standing up in the 24th minute here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Friday to show support for both Courtney and Lori.
It's incredible. And you know, we talk about, you know, the football family, and we can kind of sometimes over-egg that, and it sounds a little cliched, but the problems on the field that the side is struggling after 7 games absolutely pales into insignificance when you realise that, there's real battles and real struggles and real worries that that real people and people that mean a great deal to this club and have given a lot to the club, and it's incredible. You know, you may not always agree with some of the things that that are said out there, and obviously that's part of sport. You debate, you know, people see it differently, people see goals differently, people see incidents differently, but the speed and the sensitivity at which people have come together over this turn of events for Courtney and his mum Laurie. So it's wonderful. It is absolutely fantastic to see, and the Rapids fans have been just incredible.
They have. So if you're coming into Sporting Goods Park on Friday night, 24th minute, look around you, spread the word. Everyone's going to stand up for the full minute. Of course, Courtney Ford wears the number 24. So that's to show support for Laurie and Courtney Ford. Everyone's standing, including us, in the 24th minute Friday night against Vancouver. A reminder that the Rapids are back inside Dick's Sporting Goods Park on that day, live on Altitude Television, starting at 7:30. Altitude Sports Radio, AM 950, starting at the top of the hour, 8 p.m. Also, if you're one of those SiriusXM people, the game will be available SiriusXM FC, starting at 8 o'clock this Friday night. If you're driving around, that's channel number 85. It was on SiriusXM for many of the games in 2016, and we're back on for this one Friday night in 2017. Again, Altitude Sports Radio, AM 950, the TuneIn app, or SiriusXM FC, channel number 85. La Invasora, 87.7 FM, has your Spanish coverage. Richard, thanks for your contributions. Absolutely. And your company. And we'll see you on Rapids Kickoff Friday at 7:30 on Altitude Television. Thank you all for your company and for listening, as always, to the Rapids Podcast. We'll be back again next week. Until then, have a great weekend. See you Friday night. Bye-bye.
The Rapids Podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.